Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
From Las Vegas, from Summer League, we've got a podcast. And guess what? We have kind of a stable Wizards roster, too. And I think it's time we kind of dig into this thing. You know, the Wizards roster is basically done. You know, maybe a trade's coming. That's plausible. But for now, it's been quiet for a week. They've got 15 guys. Anthony Gill has been guaranteed now. Howell Neto's contract is done. The Wizards have 15 guys on the roster. You know, Isaiah Todd is signed and good to go. We know what the Wizards roster looks like now, or at least we think we know what the Wizards roster looks like. And if we don't know exactly what it looks like, we know damn close to what it's going to look like. So I think we're going to talk about some of that because it's time to start breaking some of this down. And, you know, I'm in my hotel room in Vegas right now, and on the Skype line is a very important person to me. None other than Ben Standick, ready to break down all things Wizards.
It is about to pour here where I am in Maryland, and you are near the Bellagio Fountain. So I think you've got a better situation than I do right now. So congrats on that.
It's raining Wizards Summer League tears because they couldn't get their first game out there. That's really what all of this is representative of. But hey, they played on Tuesday night. They played a Summer League game. Part of my rule of Summer League is to never write or tweet about Summer League. But I think we're going to talk about Summer League on here. I feel like you have Summer League things to discuss. I don't even want to live in a world where you don't have Summer League things to discuss.
I miss Summer League. Obviously, there was no Summer League last year because of the world we were in. But like I've gone, I don't know, since John Wall entered the league, I've been to almost all of them are pretty close to them. So, yeah, it's a bummer to not be there. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, should we dive right into it?
Whatever you got. This is your show. I just hang out occasionally.
You're just the guy who creeps around in the back. Okay. Wow. Well, it's partially your it's partially your show, too, because we're unveiling a – should we do the new segment? We're unveiling a new segment today.
Oh, you want to lead off with that?
Hell yeah, we're leading off with that. The Wizards pulled off one of the most complicated trades in recent NBA history that had every single kind of move plausible. They signed Spencer Dinwiddie. They officially acquired Montrezl Harrell and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Aaron Holiday and Kyle Kuzma and finalized the Dinwiddie signing and traded Russell Westbrook, and there were a million other moving parts, and we had a one-hour podcast to do, and you still led the podcast talking about Yusuf Sinan being on the Wizards Summer League team. So, hell yeah, we're starting with this. Okay. Our longtime listeners to the podcast know Ben's obsession with the Wizards' 15th man, whether it's Justin Robinson or Yusuf Sinan or whatever else. So I'm just going to concede the floor to Ben once an episode. We're going to call this segment Yusuf Synonymous because he's got some issues. So Ben, first round of Yusuf Synonymous, what do you got for us?
Yeah, hi. My name is Ben, and I have a niche Wizards problem. I don't know if I can top the Yusuf Sinan one, especially in the context that you just laid out. But I guess I'll just go with this. Like, so I was watching. I didn't watch a ton of the Summer League game, but I did watch some of it. And you know, I only like we all were watching it right for any Summer League game. You're watching for the basically who's the star of that team. It's probably the first round pick, or maybe it's some second year player. You know, we've seen Glenn Rice Jr. be a Summer League MVP, and we saw Jan Vesely foul out when you get 10 fouls. So you know, you never know what you're going to get, but you got to have, if I have one rule of Summer League, you got to have a point guard. You have to, because like it is a scramble situation all the way around. And so like the Wizards, I'm not saying you have to have like Chris Paul. You just have to have somebody who can be a real point guard. And they had that, right? They've got that Cassius Winston, you know, four-year player at Michigan State last year, whatever was going on with you know, in his with the odd G League scenarios, all that. So, okay, they're going to have that. And then, unfortunately, you know, he lands on the he's now in the COVID protocols. And I don't know, maybe you know, I don't know if he's going to be – if we think he'll be back for any of this or we don't know or who knows what. And, you know, that takes away such a key component. And I guess this leads to two things. One, this part's not so niche, but, like, watching Corey Kispert for a few minutes, like, he's a kind of player – whatever he is, he needs a point guard to help run the offense. It's so much off the ball work. So I guess I would just say, like, whatever's going to – you're going to think of Corey Kispert throughout this – probably you'll have to like dial back some level of expectations, because unless Winston comes back or something, somebody else steps up, I don't know about, they may not have a legit point guard to be able to get you the ball the way he's going to need it. So is that. And then two, I complained about this a year ago, that if you're drafting a four-year player in the second round, that guy better be, you better think he can play, because the likelihood is second round picks don't last. And he won't be on the team for long, and then that pick will have gone away. And all the reasons why I constantly fetch about all these things is because you want the team to take to maximize all circumstances. That's why the Usef Sanon pick itself was great, and Aaron White worked out, because they took those guys, threw them overseas, and just held their rights until they needed them for trades, and they traded them both in deals that helped them. And now, what did you just tell me, 15 players are on the roster? Is Cassius Winston one of those 15?
No, he's not. He's still out there. But he could be right. Back on so a two-way. On, I mean, he could plausibly be back on the two-way.
Sure, and that's not nothing. But wait, in order for him to be on it, wait, do they actually own his rights right now or no?
He's restricted.
I hate saying own rights. He's a human, but you know what I mean, like as a player.
He's restricted. So,
okay. So I mean,
you know, they could bring him back on a two-way. For sure. All right, that's possible.
Whatever it is, I'm just saying this is why these second round picks are so important, and they shouldn't be dispensed easily. I'm not talking about the trade they just made the other day. That was good. You did stuff with that, but the combination of I didn't like drafting this guy when you didn't have a space for him and you weren't going to use him, and now the one time where you really could use him, unfortunately, we've got this COVID situation going on, and we don't know if he's going to be able to play, which would help the Corey Kispert thing. So there's a lot going on there that to the point of this segment couldn't be more minor and niche. At the same time, it bothers the bleep out of me.
You know, we have analytics on the podcast that show not just our overall listenership, but listenership throughout a show. I can't wait to see the analytics on this one, because I have a feeling right around the 4-minute marker, we're we're just going to see this.
Your crater.
Right around the fourth Usef Sanon reference, I think we're gonna see an extraordinary dip. I think it's gonna be. I think it's just gonna be not a crater, because a crater rounds out. I think we're just gonna see a cliff. I think we're just gonna see full on cliff. But you know what? Worth it for everything that was on brand right there. I'm so excited about this.
Great.
No, you are right about judging Kispert in summer league. I mean, he was fine during that game. He hit a couple threes. You know, he was fine off the ball. He was, you know, from what I watched, he was confident chucking up threes, and you know, he's the ultimate type of guy, because he's an off ball guy. He's the ultimate type of guy who you just can't really judge him if he's not playing with a really good playmaker, and he had Goodwin out there with him, and he had Holmesley out there with him, and those were his guys. And yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to judge him. It's going to be hard to judge him during summer league. It'll be interesting to see how he plays with really good facilitators. He did that at Gonzaga, which is one thing that I actually think is, there's an argument to be made that enhances his numbers, because you play with better facilitators, you're going to be a better player. But he also knows how to play around really good guys, because he was around Suggs and really high-end college players. So, you know, we'll see how this goes in summer league moving forward. I want to talk about the roster, though. That's more interesting than summer league. Well, we can talk about Summer League more because they've only played one game. If something super interesting happens in Wizards Summer League, we'll talk about it on the next episode. But I want to talk about this actual roster. Your point guards are Spencer Dinwiddie, Aaron Holiday, Howell Neto. Your kind of guards slash wings are Bradley Beal, Corey Kispert, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Denny Avdia. Your power forwards, which you could throw Denny in that category if you're somebody who believes that, this is where it's kind of overload right here. And power forward and center is I think, the most interesting part of the roster because there's kind of a logjam there. So at power forwards, you got Rui, you got Bertans, you got Kyle Kuzma, you got Isaiah Todd, you got Anthony Gill, who's now guaranteed. And at center, you got Montrezl Harrell, Daniel Gafford, and Thomas Bryant. Bryant's going to go into the year ready to play right away. A couple months into the year, they're hoping he can be back by then, but they'll see. I don't think there's a strict timetable on him like that. They're hopeful maybe he could be back in December, but that's not a strict, all right, they expect him back December 12th. It's not that sort of deal. Ben, I asked you and said I would too, come with a most interesting thing or at least just an interesting thing that you think about this pseudo finalized roster. So I'll let you go first. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing with last year's roster, just from the start, before we even get to the 27 things that happened last year with the COVID and the Westbrook injury and whatever else. And that is, you kind of knew what the ceiling was on this team, because Westbrook was Westbrook, and Bradley Beal, while ascending, isn't going to like a super, super duper star level. And so it just kind of was like, okay, you get why they make the Westbrook wall trade. We don't have to get to that. But just like, there was a ceiling, you could see it. It was there. That's different than when that was Wall and Beal together on those teams. You figured they weren't going to contend with LeBron necessarily, but we didn't know where it would go. They were both up and coming and all that. And that was what's part of what was frustrating last year. They dealt into a low ceiling because of 100 reasons. And I think this group, while I would say that realistically, the ceiling is probably in that same space, which is, if everything goes well, maybe you're the sixth seed, but realistically, maybe you're somewhere in that, play-in game range and all that. However, I think the difference for me is that there are a lot of more variables here and potentially positive variables, right? You have now three recent first round picks, and we'll see where they go. I don't know if there's an all-star there, but younger guys, that's not a bad place to be. Kyle Kuzma got a lot of attention when he came into the league, and then he's kind of tapered off a bit. Maybe playing away from LeBron and Anthony Davis will work to his advantage if what we saw early in his career was the closer to the real version of him. Maybe he can get sparked here playing with Beal and Dinwiddie and having a larger role, more consistent minutes. I mean, Daniel Gafford, we saw how fun he was coming over. What's the next step for him? And then even just like, the fact that you have all these movable contracts other than Beal and, maybe other than Dinwiddie, you can take a lot of these pieces and do something fun with it. And typically, when there was a notable NBA player who wants out of a team before or during a season, that player tends to go to a contender, and the Wizards don't look to be that person. But there are now suddenly a lot of pieces that they have that you could take. Here's three or four pieces, maybe a pick, throw it somewhere, and still have enough to work with. And I think from that perspective, that even though I suspect that the end result is somewhat comparable to where we were a year ago, there's now a lot more paths to follow. And that, to me, is at least more interesting than it was a year ago when, as fun as Westbrook was, you knew where it was going and it kind of went where it went. And that's what I think is kind of most interesting to me about this team right now.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I think that's a good take. I think that's interesting. You know what I think is interesting?
Tell me.
What's the future of Davis Bertans? Like, what do we think is going to happen there? So they've got, all right, here are guys who you know for sure are playing a good chunk of minutes. We know Spencer Dinwiddie is going to start a point guard and that he is going to play starters minutes. We know Bradley Beal is starting at shooting guard and playing 36 minutes a game or whatever it ends up being. We know Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I think he's going to start at the three. I would say he is certainly the favorite to start at the three. But even if he doesn't start and they decide to bring him off the bench, we know he's playing at least 25 minutes a game and more likely more than that. You know he's getting a good chunk of minutes. You know Rui's getting a good chunk of minutes. You know Gafford is getting 20 plus. That's five guys right there. You know they're going to continue to play Denny. How the hell is Kyle Kuzma not going to play? He's one of their better wing defenders too. One of their better wing defenders can create a shot and can hit an open three. You know Kuzma is going to play. You know one of Gafford or you know one of Harrell or Bryant is going to play. And certainly off the bat, it's going to be Harrell because we're presuming that Bryant is still going to be hurt at the start of the year. I mean, now we're getting deep into the rotation, and now we've got some redundancies. We haven't talked about Corey Kispert yet. You know, we haven't talked about, okay, well, you know, they could use some extra defense on a given night. Maybe it's one of the nights where they throw out Anthony Gill. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, Bertans can shoot the hell out of the ball. And part of the reason that he struggled after getting that contract last year was because he showed up out of shape. And I'm not saying that's on anybody other than him. But what I'm saying is the expectation is probably not for him to do the exact same thing this year. You would think that he's going to show up in game shape to training camp this year. If he doesn't, obviously you've got a huge problem. But you would think that he's going to show up in better shape, which means that he'll probably be healthier throughout the season, you know, barring bad luck or something like that. At least he's more likely to be healthy throughout the season and also more likely to play well for all of the obvious reasons. That being said, if he's getting pulverized on defense and you have other good options at that position, I don't see a world in which Rui is going to drop to 18 minutes a game. You know, maybe Kuzma ends up getting traded somewhere when he has a year and a half left on his deal and it changes the balance of the roster and you trade him for a two guard or something like that. And now you're a little more loaded up at the top and you freed up some minutes around the forward position. But I'm not saying Bertans isn't going to get 25 minutes. I'm just saying there's a world where he doesn't. And he still has 4 years left on that deal. And look, he was great 2 years ago. He was he had one of the five best three-point shooting seasons in the league 2 years ago. He had 200 threes in a shortened season and hit it with ridiculous efficiency from absurd distances. And his shooting just didn't have the same effect last year. And maybe a new coach, new system, they find new and better ways to use him, pair that with him coming into camp better, in better shape, more ready to go. And all of a sudden you get the Bertans from 2 years ago, or maybe even better than the Bertans from 2 years ago. And that's one way this season can go. And another way this season can go is Rui comes into camp and he's better. Gafford comes into camp and he's now able to play 25 minutes a game, 28 minutes a game, because he worked on his conditioning and he got better. And he's only 23. That's not an unreasonable thing to expect. Harrell and or Bryant is going to command minutes at the big spots. You know, even just like last year, they got Bertans extra minutes by playing him and Rui together. KCP is there. Maybe Denny comes in better because he's 20 years old and maybe his shot got a little better, or just 20-year-olds tend to get better from year to year. Maybe there's just natural progression. Maybe Kuzma's just too solid on both sides of the ball. And if that's the case, then they're going to have to like wedge Bertans into the rotation, or maybe he's not in it. And that's probably an unrealistic worst case scenario, but it's just a thought that keeps crossing my mind. Like where does he, the obvious answer to where he fits into this is okay. Beal and Bertans on the floor 2 years ago were, the offense was killer. When those two guys were on the floor together 2 years ago, it meant you were going to have a great offense. And maybe they're like, that is going to prove true this year too. So we're going to find 25 minutes for him, and it's going to come at the expense of other of those guys. But, you know, if Bertans gets 25, that means someone else who I just named isn't. That means maybe Kuzma isn't. Maybe he's getting very few minutes. Maybe the number 15 pick, Kispert, is the one who ends up as the odd man out. Like, someone here will end up odd man out. I'm not even arguing, oh, this is a terrible thing. It's good to be deep. It's just, you know, I'm fascinated by where Bertans specifically falls in all this because of his history with the organization, because of where he is in his career, and because of where he is in that contract.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, it's absolutely a great point. And, you know, when in my head, I just kind of have been assuming that something else is still going to happen for, or even if it's not for Bertans specific, you know, I'm just, again, believer in you maximize your situations possible. And obviously injuries happen and all that stuff, but realistically, they have too many people. You should try to, you know, you can't, you know, if they even like have reasonable health, some of these people that we're talking about are just not going to really even play much. I mean, you just mentioned, like, it feels like it's sort of like a Bertans or Denny kind of situation. Just in a brief way, you just laid it out there. We didn't, you know, that means like Kispert basically doesn't play, the guy you just drafted in the first round. And those three centers, you know, how does that play out? You know, again, we'll see when Bryant comes back from his injury. So there, it does feel like there's a move to be made. But in terms of Bertans, so on the one hand, Tommy Shepard is wedded to Bertans. He was the GM that, you know, issued that contract to him for $16 million a year, right? But it is a new coach. It is a new scenario. And why did they bring in Wes Unseld specifically, if we're going to ignore the potential marketing aspect of it, right? The specific reason that Wes Unseld that was touted was how much of a role he had in Denver's defense, right? Clearly, the Wizards have been a disaster in that category the last couple of years, right? So defense is going to be a big emphasis. We'll see what happens, but that's an emphasis. There's reasons to think they should be better. Gafford will be here a full year. You mentioned Kuzma, Caldwell Pope. They'll help there. Bertans is not so much. And if the emphasis is going to be on this thing and he can't do it, and then simultaneously KCP shoots 41% from three last year, Kuzma shoots 36. That's not the same as Bertans making every three-pointer he seemingly took 2 years ago, but or when he has those games where he's making eight threes. But the game goes both ends of the court. So it is a realistic question, and Wes Unseld is not going to be wedded to him. So, you know, and it seemed like Scott Brooks was able to sort of play who he wanted. So I do think it's a very interesting point. Like I said, at a minimum, it feels like there's a deal to be made, even if it is just sort of, we'll trade this player to somebody for some future asset or something, or maybe it's a 2-for-1. I don't know. But I think it's a totally reasonable point, because if Bertans does play, then probably Denny's not. And that doesn't seem like it's a great way to go.
I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I don't think they're not going to play Denny. I don't think that's a realistic scenario. You know,
And by the way, this brings up sort of the other component to what's overriding for the Wizards is, like, where are they? You know, are they going for it, or are they sort of a younger team on the come? Because that's the issue, right? If you were really going for it, Well, then Bertans probably plays. Not only did you pay him the money, but his three-point shooting can be a big weapon in certain circumstances. On the other hand, if you're kind of in some kind of rebuild mode, you're going to want to make sure you get Denny and Corey Kispert out there, right? Because that's where you're at. You're heading in that direction. I mean, even guys like Kuzma, right? Still pretty young, you know. So I don't know. So that's the part that makes it interesting. But no, I agree. I think Bertans, it's a fascinating situation. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, it is. And one thing that I'll add to the depth of the roster, I agree. I wouldn't be shocked if a move came. One thing with the depth of the roster, you know, I went on Low Post last week, which, by the way, listeners can check that out. And Zach and I had like a 30-minute conversation over on his podcast about all things Wizards. And one thing that I was like, oh, I wish I brought this up. We were kind of talking about the depth of the roster, specifically at forward, is like, this is, I think, like, too many guys is a term that you used, and it's a term that I use all the time in talking about rosters that can be like this. Like, I used it in reference to the Hawks last year. I thought the Hawks had too many guys. I felt like they had like 12 guys. And then you look at how last season played out, and there were a million injuries. And there were a million injuries in Atlanta, too. And people are tired, and players are really struggling through this condensed schedule, and it's only 72 games, but it's over such a short period of time, and they had such a short off season, you know? And I feel like because next season training camp is supposed to start September 28th, the season's supposed to start in the middle of October. They're planning on playing 82 games. Because of all that, I feel like people say, okay, schedule's back to normal next year. It's not. The offseason is a month shorter. And players are going to be coming off of a previous offseason that was way shorter. Players are not going to have the rest that they did coming into this year. They're not going to have the normal amount of time that they're used to once again to be able to decompress at the end of the year, then ramp back up going into this next season. You know, all the time, players end up getting into the cities where they play weeks early, and they do these games of, you know, kind of an unofficial training camp organized often by players, you know, where they come in and they play pickup every day and they do drills and they just kind of police themselves. And it's not a official team event before training camp starts, but every team does it now, and they don't do it 5 days before training camp starts. They do it way before, like early to mid-September. And then training camp starts, and it's like, well, we've been doing this for weeks anyway. And, you know, some players might be like, I need more time off. I can't be doing that this year. And there are a million other ways that it can be affected. So getting back to the depth of the roster, we saw so much roster attrition this year. I mean, look at the playoffs. Basically, every team had someone significant hurt at some point. You know, people talk about, Phoenix and Milwaukee were able to get there because the teams who they played had injured guys. It's like, well, Giannis got really what looked really badly hurt and missed the last two games of the Hawks series, and they won anyway without him. Chris Paul got hurt multiple times. Then he got stuck in health and safety protocols. Like, there are things like that can happen this year too. And, you know, Thomas Bryant is already going into the year not healthy. So we talk about the 12 guys or whatever who could play. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how the center rotation shakes out if all those three guys are healthy and playing together. That will be very interesting. But at least for now, that's not the case. You've got just kind of a normal two-center rotation, which the Wizards can play for the first time in over a year. They'll have a two-center rotation.
Because my brain doesn't work. Who are like the last three players on the roster? Like if we had to say the 13th, 14th, and 15th, just...
Why are we doing another Isus Anonymous? I'd say Anthony Gill, Isaiah Todd, and probably one of the point guards. My guess would be Aaron Holiday. My guess would be Holiday. Okay. I would guess. I mean, no one has specifically told me if Holiday or Neto is going to play over the other. I would just, Neto had a better season last year. It's coming off a better year. I would guess that Neto is. Assume Neto's the guy. I think he's at least last year he was the superior player to Aaron Holiday.
They traded a first round, or they traded down nine spots to take Aaron Holiday. So I would hope he's playing. But that aside, that's another topic. My only point is that whatever it is, Holiday, Anthony Gill, and the rookie, and we'll just put the rookie on the side, right? I mean, Anthony Gill, like, obviously you don't want him in the race. I mean, he can play in the NBA. Aaron Holiday obviously can play in the NBA. So even if you traded away a couple guys, you'd still have those guys. Plus, like, Garrison Matthews, you could still do something with, right? And, you know, the aforementioned Cassius Winston, I guess, whatever. I mean, there's something to be there. Everything you're describing totally makes sense, but that's, to me, for a contending team. The idea of having maximizing depth is what the Lakers need to be focused on, because they plan to be playing deep into the season, and the Nets and
I'm
the
not
Bucks
even talking about
so
playing deep into the season. I'm just talking about getting through this season. You know, player X is hung up with a not so serious but serious enough to sit him out for 2 weeks ankle injury, and player Y is dealing with a lingering calf problem, and now it's like, okay, we're talking about, is Bertans going to play? And it's like, yeah, he might end up just playing, because one night Kuzma's going to be out, and the next week Rui's going to have to sit for a week, and the next week Denny's going to have to take five games off, and, you know, the next day Beal is just going to be sitting for rest. I mean, it's there are a lot of ways that this can play out, just because of the context of this season, you know?
Sure. I guess my only point is that while obviously all that you just said is factually true, all of that is also short-term thinking. And my thing with the Wizards is, if they want to be short-term thinking, okay, but then they kind of do need to trade some of these things to get more, because clearly what they have isn't enough to really contend in the East. They really probably then do need to trade, take your Kuzma and somebody package or whatever it is to get the other thing. Because, what I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what are they doing? If they're looking at it from a longer-term perspective, you could trade somebody to get maybe something, other stuff down the line. Or maybe you just even say, screw it, we do actually keep everybody, because we don't know exactly who is going to break out. Maybe Kuzma does break out. Maybe it's Kispert. Maybe Denny takes another step up, or maybe Montrezl Harrell looks like the guy who almost won six man, or he did win six man, right? You know, maybe he's that guy again, right? So maybe you just say, screw it, we have all these guys, we'll throw them out there and see. So I do get that. I guess I'm just saying, like, to me, and I deal with this all the time, I talk about this all the time with the football team too. Like, you have to maximize your assets, so it is both for the short term and the long term. But I mean, to the larger point, like, you know, Bertans is going to have to play defense or make, you know, 50% of his threes to stay out there, because they do have these other players. Not to say that anybody is all that, but to my point of what was interesting to me, you have a lot of interesting pieces that maybe turn into something. And I would rather lean into, let me see what we have, versus I got to throw Bertans out there because we paid him a lot of money. It's a sunk cost. You've already done it. Now you have other pieces. Last year, you didn't have other pieces. You had to play him even when he was not playing that well. This year, you don't. And that's why it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what a new coach looks to do.
Anything else to add? Well, actually, I have something to add before we wrap.
Oh, boy.
Go sign up for The Athletic. I just did a long sit down with Spencer Dinwiddie, which I was originally, my plan for the interview was, I was like, you know what? My plan is, I am going to read and react. I have a little bit of an outline of things I want to touch on. You know, he was in Vegas and I'm in Vegas for Summer League right now. And I have a little bit of an outline of things I want to touch on when I set this up with him. And I know I didn't know him at all before, but I obviously was familiar with him and familiar with other interviews he's done. And I was just like, I want this to go wherever Spencer Dinwiddie takes it. And he took it some places. Let's put it this way. He gave me a response at one point, and I was like, you know what? I got to get on his level. And so I just had to follow up with, are you spiritual? And that's where we went in this interview. So there's a lot of stuff on Bradley Beal, a lot of stuff on X's Nose, a lot of stuff on basketball analytics and all that, and his perspective on all these things, and him talking about playing guys one-on-one and all that. And then there's stuff about him talking about wanting to travel the world and meditate with monks and so many other topics. Him talking about, him referencing Infinity War and just a lot of stuff with Dinwiddie. So if you want to get to know the Wizards' new starting point guard, you should definitely check that out over at The Athletic. And if you aren't a subscriber to The Athletic, you can go on and go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. You can sign up for $3.99 a month. That's it. And it'll get you a lot more than just that Spencer Dinwiddie Q&A. You can get everything. You can get Ben's great work on the football team and all of our NBA content all of our MLB content, all of our WNBA content, every sport, every article we put up. It gets you this podcast and every other podcast that we have, including Standing Room Only, ad-free. So check that out. All you got to do is go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark, and you can sign up for $3.99 a month for a full subscription to The Athletic. Tell your friends about Wizards After Dark. Subscribe to Wizards After Dark. If you don't already subscribe to Wizards After Dark, give us a review, 5 stars. The written ones are always really helpful. I'll be back with a new episode. If something crazy happens with the Wizards later, I guess, but it kind of feels like we're getting to the quieter period of the year, and I'm going to do some roster evaluation stuff and all that, and then I am going on vacation for a little bit for the first time in 2 years, and I am quite excited about that. I will be back most likely with a new episode next week. I'll talk to you guys then.